ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
And the problem, you know, because I think Paul was a tough dude, okay? I really do. I think Paul was tough. I don't think Timothy was. I think Timothy was a little more timid. And Paul's trying to encourage him. You know, it doesn't matter what people are saying. It doesn't matter what they're doing. You know, people are so sensitive today, right? You can't correct them on anything because then they're offended by it. I've seen it over and over. I mean, I've heard Christians go, oh, look at the millennials. They're so, you know, snowflakes. I look at the church and go, wow, look at the church. They're snowflakes. Every little thing bothers them. Oh, I'm offended. I'm leaving. There's a world out there that's really bad, and you better, you know, toughen up. Am I going to offend you by what I say? Probably. And if I haven't yet, I will. You know that. Bring it before God, man. Paul told Timothy, look, convince them that they're wrong. Show them their error. Rebuke them when they're doing things that are wrong. Exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Today, forget it. Nobody wants that. You hurt my feelings. I'm sorry, but you're wrong. Not because I said so, God's word said so. People don't want to be bothered with that anymore. I'm amazed. I'm shocked by it. People will stand up for false teachers and come against God's word. I'm shocked. I guess I shouldn't be, but I am. And I guess, you know, Paul said the day's going to come when they don't want to hear healthy doctrine, sound biblical doctrine. They want their ears tickled. And what happens is they go looking for teachers that will tell them exactly what they want to hear. What do they want to hear? It's a feel-good message. Make me feel good about what I'm doing. Does God always make us feel good about what we're doing? No. Because if we're doing something wrong, a loving father would never encourage you to continue on in that behavior. So he shows us that's wrong and you need to change your ways. And that's why we don't like God's word. That's why we like the feel-good messages, because they make us feel good. But convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. And he tells Timothy, you know, be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Yeah, it's going to get tough, Timothy. I mean, there in Ephesus, you're going to do some battles. People aren't going to like what you have to say. Endure the afflictions. Do the work of the evangelist. You fulfill your ministry. You preach the word. Don't let the fear of man drive you. Let the fear of God lead you. So important for us as well. And I realize that, you know, you look at some big churches, and some big churches are awesome. They're great. They're doing wonderful things for God. Some small churches are doing horrible things for God. But people look at sizes of churches and determine if God is a blessing or not. Just because it's big doesn't mean it's right. Just because it's small doesn't mean it's wrong. We got to remember that. A good example is, go and see what happens at cemeteries. They are growing every day, aren't they? Every day they're growing. They have lots of bodies in them, but they're dead. And as big as they may be, people try to avoid them like the plague because they represent death. We don't see that in the church today, do we? I wish more people, as they check out churches, if they're not teaching the word of God, they would avoid them like the plague. But they don't. Think about this. The children of Israel, for 40 years in the wilderness, how was God leading them? Pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, right? The Shekinah glory. Now as we're moving in to the promised land, how is God going to lead Joshua and the children of Israel? It's not by the Shekinah glory. It's not by the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. He's leading them by his word. I find that fascinating. How does God lead us today? By his word. His spirit shows us, opens up his word to our hearts and our lives. Psalm 119, we're told, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Direct my steps by your word and let no iniquity have dominion over me. And of course, you know, 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. God told Joshua that if you want the victory, then know his word. Make it part of your life. If you're not doing a daily reading program, I would encourage you. Follow the reading program we have on our webpage or in our church bulletin each week. It'll take you through a few chapters in the Old Testament and about one chapter in the New Testament. And in 1 year, you'll go through the entire Bible. As a church body, this is our 23rd year going through the Bible. Been through it 23 times plus. How are you going to know God if you don't know his word? Think about it. You won't. And there's the danger, because others will tell you about God. And if you don't know the truth, you'll buy into their lies. Be in God's word. Let the Spirit of God speak to you and teach you. We think of this word meditate, and you know, people kind of freak out on it. But meditation is just thinking upon God's word. You know, we think of meditation today of turning off our brains, right? Emptying our minds. But no, we're to be thinking upon God's word, praying about it, going over and over it in our mind so it becomes part of our lives. You know, the Lord said, then you will make your way prosperous and then you will have good success if you follow me, follow my word. One person put it like this. He said, meditating on the word of God is to your spirit what digestion is to your body. Yeah, I mean, think about it. All the food you put into your body, what happens to it? It needs to be broken down so you could absorb all the nutrients that's in the food, right? Isn't that true with the word of God? As we read it, as we study, as we meditate upon it, we are extracting the nutrients that are in there, and it becomes part of our lives. We're growing, we're maturing in the Lord. And there are many other things we can do. I mean, there's great commentaries out there and radio programs. If they're faithfully teaching God's word, there's nothing wrong with that. We fill your mind with the things of God. Now, we've talked about this already, what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, you know, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. There's reasons why God has given us his word. Gives us doctrine. How do you know what's right? You know, there's so much stuff out there today that's being thrown out. This is of God. The New Apostolic Reformation is into grave sucking. You know what grave sucking is? Laying on the grave of some famous Christian and sucking their, I don't know, spiritual stuff from the ground. Is that true? No. Why do you go to the dead when we have a living God? You see, how do you know the truth? These people are very sincere. I don't doubt their sincerity. I just know they're sincerely wrong in what they're doing, because it goes against what God's word has to say. You need doctrine for reproof. It tells us what's not right. You're wrong on that. This is why. Correction, how to get right when we've gone astray, how to get back on track. I've gone off the path, how do I get back on? And instruction, how to stay right, how to stay on that path. So stand strong in God's word, don't deviate from it, and see the victory that God brings to your life. I can't tell you, you know, how often, you know, just reading God's word, the encouragement that God gives me. And I don't know about you, but do you face any battles? How do we overcome them? We read God's word. We let his spirit speak to our hearts and encourage us. But many don't want to do it. You know, one writer put it like this. He said, unfortunately, this is a discipline far too few Christians today know anything about. We live in an age of superficiality and spoon feeding. Consequently, many of today's Christians think that all a person has to do to be successful in the Christian life is to go to church, pay passing attention to the sermon, have a few Christian friends, and go on about their business as one would without these other elements. That is why Christians make so little difference in our society. They think like the world, and as a result, they act like the world. Their conduct and the conduct of pagans, apart from their grosser sins, is indistinguishable. What is missing? The missing element is deep, genuine, and persistent meditation on the Word of God. It is only as the Word of God gets into our minds and begins to become part of our normal day-to-day reasoning and thinking that we begin to act differently and thereby make a difference. We should have a hunger and thirst to know God more intimately than we ever have. I don't know about you. When I first got saved, man, I was at Bible study all the time. I couldn't get enough. When my pastor said, let's close in prayer, I'm like, no, come on, more. I wanted to learn. I don't want that ever to stop in my life. I want to continue to grow and mature in the Lord. And again, it's not just for information. It's for application. Yeah, we need the right information, but because if we have the wrong information, that's not going to help us. But application is what it's about then. You take what is true and you apply it to your lives. David said in Psalm 119, verses 15 and 16, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. In Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Notice who the blessed man is. He's the one who does not follow down the destructive path. And the destructive path takes you farther and farther away from God, away from the blessings that God has for you. And there's a gradual progression of this person who's sinking deeper and deeper into this pattern of sin. First, they're walking with the ungodly. You know, just being with them, casual relationship. But then he's not only walking with them, then he begins to stand with them. They're hanging out together. It's not any longer a casual influence on their life. And then, as he continues down this path, he's sitting with them, in fellowship with them, agreeing in their sin and mocking the things of God. And how many people travel down this road that leads to destruction? Solomon said, there's a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. And that's a wake-up call for people not to go down that path that leads to death. I can't imagine any Christian who's not looking for the blessings of God, and yet they don't want to follow the path that God has for them. We need to follow him. Psalm 16:11, David said, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Do you think God is just going to say, hey, you know what? Good luck on this one. Go for it. See what you can do. No, he always wants to guide us. He's always leading us. He doesn't tell us to go anywhere where he hasn't been already. And the blessedness that God has for us, don't walk with the ungodly. Don't stand with them. Don't sit down with them. I'm not saying you just avoid them and, you know, you live in your little Christian bubble and isolated from the world. That's not what I'm saying. We're to be a light to them. But we are not to embrace them as close friends in that we go to them for counsel. We go to them for advice. We go to them. Clark put it like this. He said, the great lesson to be learned from the whole is sin is progressive. One evil propensity or act leads to another. He who acts by bad counsel may soon do evil deeds, and he who abandons himself to evil doings may end his life in total apostasy from God. So yeah, it's a dangerous place to be. So we need to read God's word, meditate on God's word, study God's word, and obey God's word. We're blessed by it. Obedience, if you think about it, obedience is born out of our trust in the Lord. And the only way you're going to be able to trust the Lord is when you get to know him. Let me illustrate it like this. Say you're blind and you get a seeing eye dog. And it's going to take some time for you to learn to trust him. It's going to take some time for you to learn that he knows what he's doing, that he's going to stop at an intersection. But as you spend more and more time with him, you get to know him and you learn to trust in him, even though you can't see where you're going. But he can. You obey his leading, and that's faith. I can't imagine doing that. But look at people who are blind that have seeing eye dogs. And you see them walking down the street. And they're at a stoplight and there's the dog sitting down. And you have to trust them. Gets up, time to go. You got to trust them. Isn't that true with the Lord? The more we spend time with him, the more we allow God's word to strengthen us and encourage us, the more we'll take those steps of obedience in accordance to his word. You're trusting him. Right? Do I always know where I'm going? No. But I'm trusting him that he does. I'm following him. I don't know the end result of what I'm going to do. But he does. And so I follow his leading. What are we to do? We are to read God's word. We're to meditate upon God's word. We're to study God's word, obey God's word, memorize God's word. And the last point we're going to look at this morning is the correct perspective in Joshua 1:9. The Lord says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." That's the correct perspective. Two commands here. And then the way we can accomplish these commands. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Stand strong. That's important. And the idea here is not, you know, this idea of, you know, I pick things up and I put them down. Okay? That's not the idea here. This is what it's all about. Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." We're to put on the whole armor of God, but we have to understand our strength comes from the Lord. It's the power of his might, not our might. And we tend to fight these battles in the flesh, but I'll tell you what, these are spiritual battles that we're in. We're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And yes, it's manifested in the physical realm, but it's a spiritual battle, and that's why prayer is so important. So you have to put on the whole armor of God. And one of the offensive weapons we have is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And if you don't know the Word, if you're not accustomed to the Word, how are you going to win the battle? The other offensive weapon, and there's only two offensive weapons, is prayer. Being on our knees over the spiritual battles we're facing so we can stand strong in the Lord. Isn't that what the Lord's telling Joshua here? Stand strong. Not in yourself, Joshua, in me. Not only are we to stand strong, but be of good courage. And that's a command of the Lord. If our strength is in the Lord and not in us, then the courage we have is not in what we can do, but what the Lord can do. Why are we not courageous? Because we're trusting in ourselves. We're not going to be able to do it, guys. You stand strong in the Lord. And when you're able to stand strong in the Lord, then you can be courageous. Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, you know, being a little kid. My dad can take your dad, okay? We go into the battles and the Lord is with us, right? That's what we'll see in Joshua here. When the Lord has an encounter with Joshua, or Joshua has an encounter with the Lord says to Joshua, "Are you for me or against me? I'm the one who's the commander here, not you." We lose sight of that. And really, if you think about courage, it's the ability just to go forward. It's moving in a direction that may be dangerous, but your courage, your strength is in the Lord. And guess what? We can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. The Lord tells Joshua, after he's commanded him to do these things, to be strong, to be courageous, huge task in front of him. But here's the key, and it's the key for all of us. "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Wow, what a promise that is. Do you believe it? In the situation you may be in right now, do you believe that the Lord is with you? Something you're going to have to decide for yourself. C.S. Lewis reminded one of his friends, he said, "It's not your business to succeed. No one can be sure of that, but to do right. When you have done so, the rest lies with God." Yeah, do what God has called you to do. It's all in his hands then. It's not in your hands. And we have to constantly remind ourselves of these things. Because, man, the enemy messes with our minds, doesn't he? And really, if you think about what I've shared with you this morning, it's really not that complicated, is it? It's just hard. It's not complicated, it's hard. We can have that encouragement in the work because of the promises of God. We can prosper because what God has promised us, he's more than able to bring to pass. You have to walk by faith. What are we to do? We're to read the book. We're to meditate upon the book. We're to study the book, obey the book, the Word of God. And we see the results of what God is doing in our lives as he's showing us the blessings as we walk by faith. And then just having the correct perspective of things. Yeah, God tells us to be strong. Yes, he's commanded us, be courageous. But know that he is with us. That's how we could stand strong. That's how we could be courageous. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. And you can take it to the bank. Why? Because it's a promise of God. You see, if you don't trust in this promise, that's a tough one then. What other promises are you not trusting in? J. Vernon McGee, you know, just kind of lays it out. He says it like this. If you do not have victory through Christ Jesus, I can tell you why. It's because you are neglecting reading and obeying your Bible. Read your Bible as you ought to and obey it, and you will be able to live a life of victory. John Bunyan had written in the front of his Bible on the flyleaf, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." Wow, it's pretty heavy. Right on. There are no shortcuts to victorious Christian living. You know, we want to grab that book, you know, Victorious Christian Living for Dummies, right? Come on, just give me this little book. I just got to follow this and I'm good, right? But that's not how it works. Think about it like this. If I was overweight, out of shape, and my doctor said, "Look, Joe, if you don't change your ways, you're going to die." So I'm going to get serious about losing weight, getting in shape. So I buy several books on dieting. I buy several books on exercising and losing weight. And I go to the restaurant and I order, you know, 2 cheeseburgers, Pepsis, and chips. And the guy behind the counter goes, "Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, no Pepsi, Coke." I don't know. Maybe he didn't say it like that, but you know what I mean. If I continue to eat the same, not exercise, does it really matter how many books I read on dieting and exercise? No. It's not going to help. I have to apply that to my life. And isn't that true for living the victorious Christian life? No magic formulas for spiritual success. You can't become more than conquerors in a weekend seminar on spiritual warfare. You know, the Lord said in Exodus 23, verses 29 through 30, he said, "I will not drive them," as he was telling them he's going to give them the land, "I will not drive them, the enemy, out from before you in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field become too numerous for you. Little by little, I will drive them out from before you until you have increased and you inherit the land." You know, we do love formulas and we love shortcuts. We love things that will give us victory with little effort. But that's not how God has designed it. The victories we have in Christ are a gradual process of walking with him and obeying his word. And the encouragement, God's with us. He's by our side. He's leading us. Just as he's with Joshua and the children of Israel. And I love what Paul says in Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who could be against us? Doesn't that put it into perspective? The creator of heaven and earth is for me. What could the enemy do? Nothing except what the Lord allows. And really, no one could stop the work of God in our lives except us. We can harden our hearts to what God is doing. We can ignore God, and it halts what God is trying to do in us and through us. We have to learn to walk by faith, to trust in him, no matter what. And I'll close with this story. You know, we admire obedience in dogs, you know, although my dog was not a master at this, but she was a good dog. But Archibald Rutledge wrote that one day he met a man whose dog had just been killed in a forest fire. Heartbroken, the man explained to Rutledge how it happened. Because he had worked out of doors, he often took his dog with him, and that morning he left the animal in a clearing and gave him a command to stay and watch his lunch bucket while he went into the forest. His faithful friend understood, for that's exactly what he did. Then a fire started in the woods, and soon the blaze spread to the spot where the dog had been left. But he didn't move. He stayed right where he was in perfect obedience to his master's word. With tearful eyes, the dog owner said, "I always had to be careful what I told him to do because I knew he would do it." Wow. May we live our Christian lives like that dog, in total obedience to the Lord, no matter how intense that fire may get. And it may get intense. But remember what we learned this morning. Do not be afraid. Go where God has called you to go. Take those steps of faith and see the salvation he'll bring in your lives and the situations you're facing. And it doesn't mean that the situation gets easier, but boy, what a blessing to walk where God is calling. Let's pray. Father, I think that's all our heart's desire is to follow you, to walk in obedience, Lord, to do those things you've called us to do. And Lord, it's tough when you stretch our faith. It's easy when we do those things we're comfortable in doing. But then, Lord, you tell us, "I want you to go here. I want you to do this." and it stretches us. But Lord, that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. And I pray that we take those steps, we do those things you've called us to do, and see that salvation you bring in our lives. Thank you for your love, being our God, Lord, and just how you continually work with us. And Lord, help us to learn these lessons. Be just a bunch of information, but may it be transformation in our lives, that it truly, truly we will apply these things to our lives and grow in our walk with you. We love you, Lord. We thank you, and we ask these things in Jesus' name.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.